You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show on the Choose Yourself Network. Today on the James Altucher Show.
So I just, as an example of what you said and what I just said, I just went out to LA to pitch a TV show. I pitched Netflix, Amazon, NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, TNT, CNBC, an amazing bunch of meetings, an amazing bunch of people, amazing production company setting up all the meetings. And I said yes to all the meetings because I didn't want to make a crime of omission. And I wanted the experience. How many people get the experience of pitching the heads of media in the world? But the other thing is, let's say everyone rejects me. I don't know how to say it.
You can't take things personally. You know, I like the distinction between expectations and expectancy. You don't have to have a specific expectation. You can have expectancy, like good things are going to happen. And again, one of my favorite quotes, things work out best for those who make the best of the way things work out.
Like, things work out best who make the
for
best.
Those who make the best of the way things work out.
For those who make the best. Oh, okay. I see. So however it works out, I will make the best of it.
Absolutely.
And so things will work out the best for me.
They
will. Going backwards in the quote.
Yes, absolutely.
I remember one time I met a hedge fund manager. I wanted to raise some money from him and I was desperate to raise some more money to build a viable business of my hedge fund. And he said to me, look, I can't put money with you. I don't know where you're putting your money because I don't know good or bad. It's hard to figure that out. And the last thing I need, and this is him saying this to me, the last thing I need is to see the name of my firm, Bernard Madoff Securities, on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. And I remember leaving his office so depressed. I figured, oh, how am I going to compete against Bernie Madoff? And I literally switched careers because Bernie Madoff was better than me in my mind.
Wow.
Now, nobody knew then that he was a scam. Everyone later said, oh, we knew.
Wow.
But I can guarantee you they didn't know because people were calling me saying, can you get us into Bernie Madoff's fund?
And part of that, though, is people are blind because they see something they want. Right? Like they see, Warren Buffett famously said how do you know when the tide comes in, you know who's not wearing shorts, right?
So right, but how do you know before the tide comes in is the problem.
Well, Ken Langone talked about Madoff and he said he just felt, and I'm sure you did too, there was something uneasy about you, some intuition. And in Langone's case, he said that Madoff was like, listen, I got this great thing for you if you want to do it. I'm not even telling my current customers. And he's like,
right.
What kind of low-life scumbag is giving me a deal like I just met?
I see deals all the time, right? And so the one rule of thumb I always ask myself is no one wakes up in the morning and says, I have to make sure James Altucher makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Wow.
So I was pitched a deal the other day, a successful real estate guy. As far as I know, he's successful. And he's got a commercial development in a up and coming city. And he's like, look, we raised already $3 million. We just need a final $50,000. I figured I'd show you the deal. I haven't spoken to him in 7 years. And I don't know if he was just being nice or what, but I of course passed on the deal. But I always say to myself, why am I magically He knows every real estate developer in the world. He raises money for every other project. Why did I suddenly magically 7 years later get this amazing once in a lifetime opportunity? It never, ever, 100% of the time, never happens. So that's the way I check myself always. And when I start to feel that greed, like, oh, I could get in on this great deal. Nobody ever woke up wanting to give me a great deal.
Is it sort of the, if it seems too good to be true, then it usually is? Or you saying not usually, 100%.
But you have to, that's why you have to take it further. Because everything sometimes seems too good to be true. Even when you have good luck, it seems too good to be true. But I remember one time, this is like 15 years ago, someone called me, they were setting up a telecom company in Africa. Yeah. And they said, Clinton is coming in, George Soros is in, and we're almost done with the round. We need $24,000, $25,000 more. We'd love to have your hedge fund in. And again, I go home thinking to myself, is Bill Clinton really waiting by the phone for a phone call from this guy saying, guess what? We finally got James Altucher in. It's a go. So there's a scam there. And that guy did go out of business.
I remember in 2002, I was in Cambridge and my friend Mark was like, look, my friends Dustin, Chris, and Eduardo, they're starting this company online. Do you want to do it?
Yeah, but think about Facebook. Yeah. There was a lot of skepticism.
Sure.
They didn't know what the business model would be.
It's execution too.
Eduardo Saverin said, we're going to go out of business unless we sell ads. And Mark Zuckerberg was like, no ads. So there was a lot of skepticism around there. And only someone like Peter Thiel, who understood the power of, there's Metcalfe's law, which is that the value of a network is exponential to the number of nodes in that network. So he valued based on some scientific principles and saw that Facebook was going to be huge. But if you were just looking at a business model, no one knew.
Sure.
So, and look, I had the opportunity to invest in Google and I turned it down because 5 search engines had just gone out of business.
Oh, wow.
So, a lot of things you don't know. But when someone creates an above and beyond deal just for you only, there's something wrong.
One of the smartest things you've ever said, and I haven't been that many. No, there have been a lot. Is
I've said a lot of stupid things too. Probably even on this podcast.
Me too. I'm the ringleader of dumb things. But no, but I think it's worth repeating, your whole story about how you reached out to a lot of people and you offered to buy them coffee and how your life changed when you said, no, I'm going to provide value for them.
But when I was dead broke, down and out, I realized you can't blame anyone else for your problems and you can't ask for anyone for help. Because no one wakes up thinking, today's the day I help James Altucher. Everyone's thinking about how can I help myself today? And that sounds crass, but maybe I don't mean it that extreme, but that's the truth. And so you have to, and I call this choosing yourself. I also, in the book, Choose Yourself, I call this daily practice. So I started doing this, which is that A, you have to be healthy, because if you're not working on your health every day, you're not going to come up with ideas. You're not going to execute on those ideas. You're not going to be inspiring and so on. Then you have to be emotionally healthy, because if you're arguing with all the people around you every day, or if you're fixated on people you don't like or who have betrayed you or whatever, you're also not going to move forward. You only have 60,000 thoughts a day. If 40,000 of them are about people you don't like, you've just wasted 40,000 thoughts. So you have to be emotionally healthy. And then creatively, creativity is a muscle. People think, oh no, Mozart just at the age of 9 wrote a concerto because he's a prodigy. No, as Anders Ericsson and Malcolm Gladwell have pointed out, by the time Mozart was 9, he'd already put in, because his dad, Leopold, was a famous composer and an instructor, he'd already put in his 10,000 hours of work. Tiger Woods picked up a golf club at the age of 2 and was winning tournaments by the age of 4 because he's putting in thousands of hours of work. So
few people are born, most people are made.
Right, so that requires work and what Anders Ericsson calls deliberate practice. But what I do is I take out a waiter's pad and I write 10 ideas down. And it's a challenge to come up with 10.
And I will say this again, it's amazing. Because I've started to follow a lot of your practices. And in the words of the monkeys, I'm a believer.
Well,
words of Neil Diamond.
It works.
It works, 100%.
Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like, I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a 3-year period, and I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs, and I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, I, of course, the first thing I thought was, I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, you know, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like, I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb while I'm away, and I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a 3-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. I remember last year I was asked to go speak at the Norway Business Summit, and I was so excited because side by side with the Business Summit was the Norway Chess Summit, where I would get to see in person Magnus Carlsen, the best chess player ever, playing chess. But it was 4 plane rides, like, to get to the city that ultimately I would go to. So I really did not want to fly for 14 hours. And they were willing to pay for everything for me. So I at first class. So I didn't want to fly for 14 hours and not be first class. So I had to hurry up and get on the phone immediately to get those first class tickets to a chess tournament in Norway. And listen, this is just like when, you know, you have to know when you want the best of anything, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. And I did not want those seats to fill up. So it's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. I just was talking to a friend this morning where he was trying to decide between some programmers and he waited a little too long and both the programmers he was interviewing took other jobs, like great jobs. So, you know, what's the best way then to hire the best as quickly as possible? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now you could try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/James. Just try it and see. You'll find out. So ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify the top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I know this because one time I signed up as an employee, potential employee on ZipRecruiter, and I got nonstop. Really, I was, even though obviously I wasn't looking for a job, I love what I do, but I just wanted to see what would happen because they were a sponsor of my podcast. And the most interesting jobs would pop up in my emails like, hey, you're qualified for this or that. And so it's interesting to see. So just go there and try it. Try ZipRecruiter.com/James. Amp up your hiring performance. Now, this is more for if you're hiring, but amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/James. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
There's evidence. There's
better
evidence.
Version of me.
People say, people used to think this. So there's a kind of, there's kind of brain cells called myelin, which put, I don't know all the science, technology, whatever the word, but basically there's, when you learn something, neurons start to get connected. When you learn something real extremely well, there's something called myelin, which builds a sheath between neurons so that stays in memory, that skill that you learned. And so the people who are the most skilled have the most myelin around the neurons relating to those skills. And so people used to think that myelin was only built as a kid, but it's just simply that kids have more time, more hours per day to spend exercising the connections of those neurons. It turns out you could build myelin up till old age, but people do not consistently play the piano all day when they're 45 years old because they have mortgages to pay and kids to pay for and so on. So that's why they always say it's hard to learn languages, hard to learn new skills and so on. But you can learn it at any age. And so creativity falls under that category. Creativity is a muscle, it's a skill to learn. And by writing down 10 ideas a day, you learn that skill. And people say, oh, ideas are a dime a dozen. That's just simply not true. And good ideas are definitely not a dime a dozen. Good, you might have one good idea every year or so, but if you don't practice the creativity muscle, you'll never have a good idea. And then people say execution's everything. What they forget, that the way you execute is itself an idea. So I know a guy who's building a business. I won't go into the details of the business, but he's trying to sell his product for the highest possible price so he makes money. And I said, no, why don't you try giving the product away for free? The cost of the product is nothing. So give away the product for free to as many people as possible so you get the network effect that we spoke about with Facebook as opposed to just pure short-term cash. And so that's two easy ways to execute on the same idea, but one execution model might create a bad business and the other execution model might create a good business. And I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. It's just two different models.
I think you're right.
And execution ideas are just as important as creativity ideas, and it'll make or break a success. So what I just started doing is at first I made a list of all the people I wanted to meet and mentor me. And I said, hey, can I buy you a cup of coffee? But as the story, as I always write, it's not like Warren Buffett gets my email and says to his secretary, Gladys, hold all my calls. I'm worth $75 billion. And someone named James Altucher wants to buy me a 60-cent cup of coffee downstairs. So I have to just wait around for him to make an appointment with me. No one says that. So what I have to do instead was I studied each person I was writing. I came up with 10 ideas for their business, sent it to 20 people, each catered to that person. Three people wrote back. One person, I literally wrote him 10 pieces of software to model the stock market. He was a hedge fund manager. He allocated money to me. Another person I wrote, he was a writer for a financial site. I said, here's 10 ideas of articles you should write about. And I really researched the idea. So he almost didn't need to write them. I gave him the outlines of the articles. And he wrote back and said, these are great. Why don't you start writing them for me and for my site? The third person, I forget the ideas I had for him, but he's like, this is great. I will meet you for a coffee. But that was only 3 responses out of 20. So still, this is to your point about persistence, that still required a lot of, if I had just sent 3 emails to the wrong people, wouldn't have gotten a response. People expect everybody should respond. They're not.
Yeah.
So, but you know, again, the first person, I created a hedge fund out of his first amount of money. That's the hedge fund guy that both Roy Niederhofer and I had worked for. The second guy was Jim Cramer, and he ended up buying a company of mine for $10 million 5 years later because I built up that relationship. The third person I did not respond to until 2014, 12 years later, and that's when Nassim Taleb came on the podcast. And the other 17 people, never heard from again.
But you might. You might. I mean, you never know. Like, right? You don't know unless you do it. And sometimes fine.
Well, like when you send a letter to somebody, you don't say, please come on our podcast. You say, hey, you have a book coming out. Here's similar authors who have been on our podcast. Here's how other ways we'll promote your what you're working on.
What I won't say is, we've had so-and-so and so-and-so. You know what?
You need, if you're worth
like somebody
anything,
had sent us, for those people out there producing land or, you know, publicistville, you know, and they said, good enough for Stanley McChrystal or Bill Walton, good enough for you? Or, and I was like, yes, it's not good enough for, I mean, like, it's moronic. Like, what I mean, so for those of you out there, right, like, what I'm saying, again, I have your trust and attention. Like, when we pursue people, it's not just that we've had these other people. P.T. Barnum could be right. There's a sucker born every minute. It could be about how, you know what, this guy is amazing. Like, we're going to do a different interview. Like, it's not replicable.
Right.
Not perfect, but...
Right, and it's not, it almost sounds selfish to say, hey, they need to cater to our agenda.
Yeah.
But the reality is, we have a nuanced agenda. We're looking for peak performers that also could be a little bit entertaining to the listeners. Yeah. Keep going. And
that's a different way to look at it. It's not like you're good or bad. It might not be a good fit, and that's okay, you know. And I think that, you know, one thing I really did learn from you is the idea of choice, you know. And for example, you know, if somebody says, hey, can we have this person on, you know, right now in this room is a woman I haven't met who, you know, they said, okay, well, how about we just meet? And if they're interesting enough or smart enough or dedicated enough to say, you know what, let me come up to you and I'll meet you for a half hour. There's 100 other ways to do things. Again, like GZ, there's a million ways to get it. Like, maybe they'll come on another time. Maybe you'll go on their thing. Maybe I'll learn something from them. Maybe a year from now you could do something. But you, again, what you've always talked about is you just have to do things. You have to just do it. Like, it's better to commit an error of commission than omission. And some people are very short-sighted when they say no about the podcast. My choice is to say, thanks so much. Please come to a podcast. Or,
right,
hey,
and then,
do you have other guests?
And then in the future, we're always thinking of their agendas. Like, if we see another opportunity to help them, we could say, hey, sometimes we don't even say, hey, come on our podcast. We'll specifically say, hey, go on XYZ podcast. It'll actually be better
like
than
Tanya
ours.
Like Tanya Dalton, maybe it's better for you to go on Kyle Fussman's podcast or Jordan Harbinger.
The final part of this daily practice, which nobody ever talks about, they always talk about the ideas, the 10 ideas a day on a waiter's pad, because that's the one that's most immediately, you could see. What you'll see is within 3 months, you're having better ideas, and within 6 months, everything you look at, because now your myelin is wired around those creativity muscles, everything you look at, you'll start coming up with ideas, and you really see a visible effect. But so everyone focuses on that. But there is kind of what I'll call the spiritual side, which I hate to use that word because it almost sounds religious or new agey, but you know, you kind of have to focus. It's maybe another way of saying it, is you have to focus on, and we talk about this, process versus outcomes. So I just, as an example of what you said and what I just said, I just went out to LA to pitch a TV show. I pitched Netflix, Amazon, NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, TNT, CNBC, an amazing bunch of meetings, an amazing bunch of people, amazing production company setting up all the meetings. What did you say?
Al Jazeera.
I would have pitched them if they wanted to have a meeting. And but I pitched, I said yes to all the meetings because I didn't want to make a crime of omission. And I wanted the experience. How many people get the experience of pitching the heads of media in the world? But the other thing is, and this is where the spiritual aspect is, let's say everyone rejects me. Okay, I might want to understand, did they reject me personally? Did they reject the idea? You know, whatever. But I won't be upset, because you have to, you can't, you know, you can't, I don't know how to say it.
You can't take things personally, you mean? Or
you
no?
can't take things personally. And you have to kind of learn to have as much well-being as possible in each moment, because the cliche is you might die the next moment. Yeah. And you figure out what you learn from the experience that could benefit you, not only your life, but the lives of the people around you. So I'll definitely have several articles I'll be able to write about it. I learned I viewed each meeting as like a mini podcast. So I learned a huge amount about the state of the media world from across the spectrum, maybe in ways that even they don't see in their own little palaces. So you have to view things as an amazing experience.
For everybody out there, I think great things are going to happen from it. And I think You know, I like the distinction between expectations and expectancy. You don't have to have a specific expectation. You have expectancy, like good things are going to happen. And again, closing with one of my favorite quotes, things work out best for those who make the best of the way things work out.
Like, things work out best who make the
for
best.
For those who make the best of the way things work out.
For those who make the best. Oh, okay. I see. So however it works out, yeah. I will make the best of it.
Absolutely.
And so things will work out the best for me.
They will.
Going backwards in the quote.
Yes, absolutely.
And then I will say another Steve Cohen quote, which I always quote without giving you credit. The way you do, I use this quote in the pitches, actually.
Oh, great.
The way you do anything is the way you do, or the way you do, no, if you always do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten.
Correct.
And so my point is, in that quote, is that everybody, the show is somewhat about transformation.
Yeah.
And people are coming to the show because they need transformation, but that means they have to do things drastically different because the way they've done it before.
Yeah.
Got them to the point where they needed a transformation. So they have to do things differently. Anyway, I think the personal solutions of doing this daily practice, that works. And that is something everybody can do. If everybody did it, all the other problems will be solved. But the reality is nobody does most things. Can we make that into
true,
a Steve?
True and related.
Can we make that into a Steve Cohen style quote? Nobody does most things.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah. Well, yours sounds like Yogi Berra is like, nobody ever goes there. It's too crowded, you know? But yeah, we definitely have to think about it.
So Steve Cohenize it. Can you do it on the fly?
Yeah. Yeesh. Putting me on the spot. Okay. Nobody ever does most things. Yeah.
You can't say nobody ever does.
No, I think it's what you're essentially saying. It's simple, but it's not easy, right? Like it's simple, but it's not easy to do.
Or maybe nobody ever does the things that will make you a somebody.
Yeah, I like that. That's really good.
You have
that's
that
really good.
Of, what's it called?
Oh, you always heard that.
An anaphor, like the Ted Sorensen.
Yeah.
Ask not what your country will do for you. Ask what you will do for your country.
So when you doubt your power, you give power to your doubt. I mean, there's a lot of them. Yeah, yeah. No, there's a lot. So I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.